Hello and welcome to Launch. We're broadcasting here from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Ron Reardon, along with our producer, Lee Cantor. My co-host, Bill McHenry, is definitely under the weather. But Lee, how are you doing today?
I am okay. I'm healthy today. What about you?
Yeah, I'm in really good shape. My wife's a little sick, but I'm in good shape. Well, you know, Lee, on Launch, we focus on the launching of a business so that entrepreneurs can successfully navigate their launch. This morning, we'll be featuring Susan Knox of Corporate Connections. But before we get started, Lee, could you thank today's sponsor?
Sure. Our sponsor today is Patents & More. Patents & More, protecting your innovation and connecting you to the resources you need for success.
Okay. Well, you know, I first met Susan at an event called the Startup Lounge. And when I got her card and looked at it, I was just really fascinated. And, you know, her tagline is, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. So, Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Okay. Well, Corporate Connections, how did you come up with this idea? And how long ago was that? And how things developed?
Well, it's very interesting. I had a wholesale jewelry company for 15 years. I sold the business to a private investor and started Corporate Connections really almost by default. I was working with the Buckhead Business Association. I sat on the board of directors. And I was at the History Center with all of the gray hairs, I'll call them. And I said, why don't we do a Buckhead Business Expo? And they all looked at me and said, what is that? And I said, let's go to a venue where we could showcase all of the different companies that participate with the Buckhead Business Association. So we went to Phipps Plaza. We went down every hall, nook and cranny. And all of these members started buying six-foot drape tables to promote their companies. And I realized, Ron, that so many people didn't know each other that were synergistic fits to grow their companies. So I started making corporate introductions. Therefore, Corporate Connections was born in 1999 by default.
That's fascinating of how that started. Well, can you tell us the difference between business development versus sales?
Well, I think there's a huge difference. And the more I do this business of connecting companies with capital and companies with other companies to help them grow, I realize that business development is really very much about building relationships. I think you're developing your business. So I would encourage people to not think of business development as networking. Everybody has a negative connotation these days, in my opinion, of networking. It's like, oh gosh, do I have to go into a room of people and start shaking hands and handing out business cards and meeting people who don't have a job? And so sales, in my opinion, is a lot more about getting a contract. It's about going straight to a buyer to make a transaction happen. So business development is a lot more about relationship building, which in the long run, in my opinion, is the way you're going to grow your personal brand wherever you are in life. And as transitional as we all are, you can take your name, your good reputation, your relationship capital wherever you go.
Okay. This to me is kind of similar to what I've heard about the difference between working in the business and working on the business.
Absolutely.
It's two different things. And this seems to be in the on the business part of developing corporate business-to-business relationships.
You're kind of above the day-to-day, and you're visionary, and you're looking out at, you know, ways you can grow your company through relationships, whether it's partnerships, value-added resellers. There are so many different ways to really increase revenue, and if you're kind of not in the day-to-day business and you're looking above, you really see a whole different landscape.
How about that? I don't know if you know Sam Zaitzpinger of Slingshot Products.
I do.
I sat down with him one time, you know, and talking to him about, you know, what did he go through starting that business?
Okay? Uh-huh.
And he said the first thing he did is he went and talked to all the smart people that he knew, saying, mm-hmm. This is what I'm thinking about doing, what do you think, and, you know. But he obviously already had relationships with these folks that had established businesses that he could go in and have coffee with or lunch or whatever.
And that's the key. He had established relationships so he could pick the phone up and they would say, absolutely, Sam, come talk to me. I'll tell you everything I know and should know and wish I did know.
Right. And so I was just like, note to self, you know, relationships are important.
They're the key.
Yeah. And do you have any recommendations for business owners that are kind of introverted as to how they can develop the relationship skills?
Well, I think the key phrase that I've learned that's helped me the most is when you meet someone, be interested in them and always ask them, how can I help you? Those are like the five best words. How can I help you is absolutely key to people feeling comfortable to open up. And one of the single biggest deals that I've ever done in my business was because I was ending a breakfast with a gentleman when the Ashford Club was still here.
Right.
And I was getting ready. We were getting ready to walk out. And I said, so how can I help you? And he told me that he had a client that was looking, it was a sawmill in South Georgia that was doing about $70 million. They were getting ready to sell and they needed about an $8 million bridge loan. I knew of a bank that had said to me, if you ever run into this kind of transaction, we're very interested. Literally, Ron, I connected the dots and the deal got done. And if I had not asked him, how can I help you? He would have never brought that subject up.
Yeah, I like that phrase. You know, I use a similar phrase, but I think I'm going to scrap mine and use yours. Mine was, you know, in talking to people, was like, what would be a perfect client for you? And I would write that down. And then I said, well, you know, when I encounter somebody that's like that, I'll send them to you.
Well, it's funny, though. You know, a lot of people don't know what they don't know, and they're so tunnel vision in who they think their perfect client is. But a lot of times, if they don't have a board of advisors or they're not a member of a Vistage or the TAB alternative board or somewhere where you're kind of in an environment where people are always throwing out ideas to help you think differently,
right?
Sometimes they don't know who they're missing as a perfect client. So if you say, how can I help you? It kind of opens the door in a broader spectrum.
Yeah, that's a lot better. I know that, especially, you know, all people, but especially men, once they make a decision, have a tough time, you know, backing off of that decision. And what really helped me make a new decision on that is a phrase I heard years ago that says, an intelligent person, when given new information, will make a new decision. And so, it kept me from saying, well, it's not that I was wrong when I made this decision 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's that it was the right thing based on the information that I had. But since I'm an intelligent person and I've now got new information, I can make a new decision. And it freed me from being anchored to something that I needed to release myself from.
Very true.
Yeah. So, how can I help you? That's powerful stuff. So prospects and influencers, I know they're both important to generating revenue, but what's the difference between prospects and influencers?
Well, it's kind of like the difference between sales and business development. If you think about prospects, those are direct clients. So when I'm representing a client and helping them grow through providing strategic corporate introductions, I always say to my clients, I'm going to fill your pipeline with two kinds of people, prospects and influencers. So prospects for a law firm, for instance, would be a direct client that would hire them and pay them. Influencers would be people that maybe are private wealth managers, bank owners, CPAs, people who have access to their clients. So we need to have prospects in the room and influencers, because I can tell you, if I had a choice between the two, I would pick influencers all day long, because those people have vast networks. They're trusted advisors. And let me tell you, if an influencer for your company picks the phone up and recommends someone meeting with you, they'll meet with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Lee and I were talking earlier, and I mentioned that a boss that I had when I was working at Bell South was a master meter of people that are influencers. He had lunch every day with somebody new and had just a tremendous Rolodex of folks that were, you know, the titans in this industry and that industry. I mean, he knew everybody, okay? And that was just a habit he had formed.
And let me tell you, that is absolutely, I think, essential to, like Sam saying he could pick the phone up and call anyone. You've got to have these trusted relationships, and it isn't just about a casual meeting and you saying, oh, I know that person, or I linked in with them on LinkedIn, so I have access to them. There's a huge difference in going to lunch with someone or playing golf with them and building the relationship. And the key is it takes time, it takes money, it takes preparation, and it takes, you know, commitment, because you don't just build a relationship by meeting someone.
Okay. And when you look at lunch versus playing golf, okay, mm-hmm. Which do you think is more effective?
Well, for people who love golf, I'll tell you, a great day at East Lake or, you know, Hawks Ridge or somewhere where someone's not necessarily going to have access to play, mm-hmm. that's always memorable. And I think you've got, you know, usually an hour, hour and a half at lunch. And what do you have on the golf course, depending on how good you are? You're with those people for, what, 4 hours?
Yeah, plus you get to see them, you know, how they react when they make a bad shot or have a bad lie or whatever.
I mean, men and women today are saying that golf is a great place to build your business.
How about that? I know my wife's been after me to take up golf. And, you know, I played very poorly, you know, early on in my career. I always won last place in the golf tournament. You know?
Well, at least you got a prize.
I always got a really nice prize, which made everybody else mad. And last time I checked, they looked at all the records, and nobody has ever beat my record for most number of strokes. Nobody's even got in the vicinity. I still remember I was playing with a pro, you know, on a foursome, and we're there at a particular thing, and I chip over the green, and I chip back over the green, and I chip back over the green. And finally he said, you know, just use it as a pool cue. And just kind of get it towards the hole.
I love that.
Now, Susan, when you're working with your clients, do you work with them to coach them on how to network better and meet better people and build these relationships, or do you do this for them?
I do a little of both, because what my real secret sauce to my success has been is I do executive briefings. And executive briefings are when I like to put, say, 15 people at a boardroom table, and everyone at the table does kind of a CNN headline news, who you are, what you do. And so everybody at the table gets to know who else is there. And in the world that I live in, there's as much business done among the people who hold a seat at an executive briefing for my client as there is business done with my client. So that's what makes people clear their calendar and say, Susan, if you are having an event and you're asking me to hold a seat, there's a reason I need to be there, and I'll do my very best to come and participate. So I do teach people, my clients, how to shake hands and look at people in the eye and be very confident. And I'll take an example of lawyers. Lawyers are excellent at what they do. But in the people skill arena, sometimes they're not as personable, warm, engaging. And once they know kind of how to do it, and if you've never been taught something, and a lot of people have never really been taught how to shake hands, how to look somebody in the eye, how to stand up straight. I mean, I went to Speakeasy, a course one time here in Atlanta, and I did it 2 times. It was the most impactful thing I've ever done as far as watching yourself on video and how you interact. And they would put you on the spot and video you introducing yourself. I mean, nothing is more powerful than looking at yourself on a video and watching what you do. So I learned a lot about how to engage with people and how you're being perceived. And it's interesting because the way people perceive you and the way you think you're being perceived sometimes is direct opposite.
Yeah, I know the cover of Psychology Today many years ago had 3 pictures of a woman, and I forget all of the captions, but one was the way she saw herself, the way other people saw her, and then I forget what the third one was, uh-huh. But it was 3 different views of the same person, you know. It's really different. I know one time when I was taking some kayaking courses, I was videotaped. And I thought that I was standing erect, you know, and putting my whole body into everything. And actually, I was slumped down and paddling like this. And it was really
eye-opening.
Shocking.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and it really changed my style. Because I always remembered that video whenever I'd be, you know, going through the movements and everything. But you're on target about the attorneys. When I was taking a course on how to pass the patent bar, the patent attorney that was teaching the course, very first day, first statement, he says, what kind of people become patent attorneys? And there's kind of silence. And he says, the people that don't have the personality to do tax work.
And that kind of says it all.
It really does. And I looked around the room. I'm like, well, that might be true of those people, but hopefully I've got a little bit more personality than that.
Well, and the truth is I'm actually representing a law firm right now that I dearly love. And I can tell you that they are warm, engaging, very helpful. And one of the things that I said is, if I'm going to be putting 15 people in your beautiful conference room and we're going to be serving lunch, this really isn't about you, it's about them. And let's take all of your clients and let's engage the people at the table with some of your clients. Let's show them kind of the pay it forward. And I'm telling you, they've done it and it's a beautiful thing.
Are you finding in this economy that the professional service people, their mindset used to be, well, I'm a lawyer or I'm an accountant, and that's all I had to be. And now they kind of have to be salespeople, too.
Absolutely. And I think it's almost caused kind of a panic attack among a lot of people that have just always said, this is what I do. And the phone has always rung. And, you know, I've always been able to, you know, have business come in the door, even if it was just a referral. Well, now people have realized they have to get out there. And I always say people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And if you're not known and you're not out there, and that goes with my tagline, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. You can have all the business cards. They can be in a sophisticated database or they can be in a shoebox. But you may have business cards of people you think know you, but if you're not top of mind and they don't think, when someone says, who do you know that I should call that's an expert at? If you're not top of mind, you're losing.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. So when you think about the term rainmaker, I would think that traditionally the rainmaker is a person that knew how to develop relationships. And I guess in large firms, it'll just be one or two of those. Is it now transitioning that everybody's got to be a rainmaker?
That's an interesting question. In my opinion, rainmakers are strictly business development. So this is what's interesting. When I go into companies and talk to them about developing their business and growing revenue, and I can tell you, nobody I've talked to recently is interested in just building their business through relationships. They're looking to build their business through relationships that turn into revenue rapidly. So rainmakers, to me, traditionally in the past, have been people who really were almost closer aligned to like lobbyists.
Okay.
And a lot of people today call salespeople their business development people. And in the past, business development was really separate and much more like a traditional rainmaker, which really wasn't involved in contract negotiations. They really didn't get in the sales process as much. And I've seen a transition. People today, they want it all because they're hungry. The economy has been so terrible. I think they want someone who can come in and ramp up revenues, build those relationships rapidly, and do it very inexpensively. And I think there's some expectations that might not be too realistic.
Is that a common misconception? They think that, oh, I'm going to network, and then it's like an ATM machine. I put the network card in, and then I get money out, you know, at the end of the day.
And then those relationships spit out and turn into contracts and revenue.
So the timeline has to, you have to manage those expectations where this is not an instant cure here. We're in for the long haul.
Yes, and I think as desperate as people have been regarding their financial situation, personally, professionally, I mean, individuals and then companies, and I just think everybody's looking for immediate gratification. They need to deposit money in the bank today. Let's look at transactions, and transactions are very different than building relationships, and there is a huge chasm between the two.
Okay. Well, tell us about the process between screen, qualify, who to vet, you know, what, when, where.
I use the term screen, qualify, and vet when I'm talking about companies that are raising capital, because investors traditionally are really looking for the best deals that are out there. And in my world, if I'm asking an investor to hold a seat in an investor presentation, I have to do the due diligence up front on the company and the CEO, and I need to make sure, and that's where screen, qualify, and vet. I've got to put them through a screening process. I've got to vet them, which means I've got to do some due diligence. Does their business plan make sense? Are they the real deal? And then, screen, qualify, and vet means I'm actually putting people through kind of a filter. And if they pass the test, then I'm comfortable introducing an investor to the company.
Yeah, because that way it'd be a good match, because an investor doesn't want to have their time wasted.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And we talked a few minutes ago before we went on air that, you know, all of my investors say to me, Susan, I bet on the jockey. I always bet on somebody that I think can win the race. And an investor will take a person who is a leader, a strong CEO type, and that person, you know, if they're willing to give it 110%, the investor will bet on them. But you bring somebody with a great company and a great idea and a weak leadership and a weak person leading, they'll never put their money in that person.
How about that? Well, I mean, does that filtering process work with investors also? I mean, are there some fake investors out there that...
Yes. Absolutely. There are people who don't have two nickels to rub together that show up dressed and pressed and, you know, you'd think they, you know, had a house in Palm Beach. And let me tell you, they don't. So there's fakes everywhere. And it's my job, really, with corporate connections to make sure that, again, I'm making sure the people I'm introducing are real.
Okay, on both sides of the equation.
Uh-huh. And authentic. That's okay. A big deal.
All right, that's super. So when to plug in to build your business? How does this process work with that?
Well, I tell people a lot of times that every event, every trade association, every organization is not appropriate for your potential business development. So I think it's key to really look at, I mean, in Atlanta, as you know, Ron, you could network every day, probably breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and cocktail hour somewhere in the city with either a Technology Association of Georgia, SIG. I think they have like 50 or 60 SIGs, special interest groups, and many organizations have the same thing. So I think it's just vital and key to your success to do your homework and to look at where do you need to plug in. And when you do plug in and you join, become a part of the organization. Get on the membership committee. Get on a steering committee. Jump in and get involved, and don't just be just a participant.
Is there a rule of thumb of how many associations or these kind of groups you should participate in?
Lee, I am always about quality, not quantity. So I can tell you there's no number. I've been involved in a handful, and with what I do for a living, you know, you would think I would probably be members of many, many organizations. I'm very selective, and the ones that I do join, I get very involved with.
Yeah, I know that one of the smartest moves I made early on in my business was to become a member, you know, of the local Inventors Club and then become president of that organization.
There you go.
And, you know, helped build it from about 12 people coming to meetings to about 80 people coming to meetings, and then turning it over to the next generation of leadership who grew it, you know, to 160. So.
See, that's fabulous. And, you know, people are attracted to leader-type personalities. And if you're in charge and you take charge and you really become involved and engaged, you're going to build your network that way with some really quality, trusted relationships.
Yeah. And you know, leaders like that are willing to make the contribution, they're very rare, okay? What I've seen happen with a lot of folks is they get locked in to being the leader because they can't find a replacement. You know, they don't groom a replacement, and that's critical to always be looking at who's going to transition in as you transition out.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Now, does that also go this same type of like joining these kind of networking groups or these organization, trade association, does it also mean that you should be joining like charitable organizations as well?
Lee, I think philanthropy is huge. And I definitely think that, you know, you need to kind of balance. And something that I like to tell people is get involved with definitely a professional organization. A lot of times people say to me, Susan, why do I want to join a group of people that all do exactly what I do?
Right.
I'm with all my competitors. But in order to kind of elevate yourself and be known in a certain industry, you need to be among your peers. I think, you know, competition is always a good thing, and may the best man or woman win. So get out there and get in the game and elevate yourself and definitely be known in your community. But I also think it's important to pick kind of a hobby. If you love to cycle or you love to play tennis, join Alta, get on a swim team, play golf. So I think getting involved socially is very important too. I think so many people just get so burned out with just business.
Yeah, I know that whenever I used to do whitewater kayaking, the reason I enjoyed it so much is that you totally forgot all of your troubles, because you have to focus so much on where you're paddling and where's the rock and how to dodge the rock and stuff like that. That it's really, really critical to have a hobby. And I think a lot of people play golf for that same reason, or tennis. It's because you're so focused on the activity that you forget, you know, it's a good decompression kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Susan, this has been great. How can our listeners get in touch with you?
You can reach me at Corporate Connections. It's www.corporateconnections.us. It's Susan@corporateconnections.us. And I also have a www.susanknox.com. And I've really enjoyed this today, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
It's a pleasure.
And our listeners really appreciate you sharing your experiences and insights. This has been super.
Thank you.
Another great show, Lee.
Absolutely. And before we go, a special thanks to today's sponsor, Patents and More, your trusted guide through the innovation jungle.
And go to our blog at thelaunchhour.businessradiox.com to listen again to today's show plus previous shows. This is Ron Reardon, Lee Cantor, signing off another great session of The Launch Hour.